3, 2, 1.
What's good, Flagler on visitors and Clean Sheet listeners? Welcome back to the Clean Sheet or the Cream Sheet podcast. This is episode number 6. We're on a roll. This is the podcast where you get the world's best football analysts. Psych, we're not analysts. Just some guys talking about football and everything in between. This week, we have a couple of very cool discussions to talk about, as well as some Olympic game roundup, everything, you know, kind of that's been happening, as well as some transfer talk. But before we get into all of that, it's time to introduce the panel. We have a very important guest here today. So let me actually introduce him first. Hailing from Middle Earth, my man, good friend of all of us here at the podcast. What is up, Danny P?
Yo, your local Spurs fan, and I mean that in all fucking terrible ways. It is what it is. Spurs till I die, baby.
Let's go. Danny, I mean, how does it feel to be making history? I mean, you're the first guest here on the Clean Sheet, you know what I mean?
Look, like, every... One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. This is how historic this is.
Spoken well for a Middle Earther. With that being said, the two normies and the two casuals, Rio the Dio, what's going on, God?
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's me, Rio. Having a great day. I hope y'all are too.
Oh, okay, you're going that route today? We're just going to ignore what you said
last time. Nothing was said last time. What are you talking about?
I hope y'all sticked around for the end of last episode. If you did, I'm sorry, but you did have to hear that Wants and Needs, or no, Lemon Pepper Freestyle remixed by Rio. We're talking about Lemon Pepper Freestyle. Drake's biggest fan. What's going on, Deadlifting Demon Cream?
What's up, creamy fans?
Stop it,
bro. No, it's gonna be a thing.
is that like the believers? Is it the creamies?
That sounds pretty fire.
The creamies, I like that.
When's the merch coming out?
when Ben and Jerry's gives me a deal.
Why don't you want Krispy Kreme donuts to give you a deal instead?
Free Palestine.
Krispy Kreme.
Danny's smart, bro.
That's also a good idea. Damn, should we drop the merch for that? Yo, maybe even partner with the try and get a remix of the Chunky Donkeys.
No, that's in like 10 years, bro.
10 years, I say 10 minutes, bro. Let's get them on the phone. But with that being said, we do know that international football did end a couple weeks ago. If you didn't check out last episode, we talked everything about the Euros final, the Copa America final. We're going to talk a little bit about those tournaments again today, but we have to start off with Olympic Games that actually happened. And I know that the men actually started playing today. There was a couple of results from Brazil and whatnot. But I thought we'd actually take some time here to actually show love, because I think the results were actually a lot more cool and interesting. On the women's side, we had a couple of interesting results from the Olympic Games. Probably the three most impressive ones is Brazil absolutely thumping China. 5-0, so that's a win for anti-oligarchies. And we also had a 3-0 victory by Sweden against U.S. women's, which is a pretty significant loss for the U.S. women's national team. Huge
44 games undefeated, something like that.
Yeah, 44. Yeah, that was their first loss since like January 2019. So. You know, that's pretty crazy. Also, actually, their worst showing at a major international tournament since a 4-0 loss against Brazil in the semifinal of the 2007 World Cup. So pretty, I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, our women's national team is ridiculous.
They're still the favorite, too, at a minus 125, excuse me.
That's pretty crazy. You know, but it just goes to show how great the team is. And you know, Olympic games are never that competitive. Olympic soccer is never that competitive, but, you know, hopefully we get some good football because we're fiending for it. And then also, I mean, I picked the Netherlands to win the Euros, and I mean, I picked the wrong team. It must have been the Netherlands women, because they absolutely curb stomped Zambia 10-3.
You hate to see it.
10-3. Yo, thank
that sounds 10, I'm sorry. Like all with all due respect, that sounds like a FIFA match.
Yo, what is that?
Your little brother.
What is that, bro? What is that? God. Yeah.
Versus anyone in the squad.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, except for FIFA 15, but we're not going to get into that, bro. We're not going to get into that. Vivienne Miedema, I hope I'm pronouncing your name. I had 4 goals on the day, and Van de Donk had 3 assists on the day as well. So, ballers. I mean, yeah.
Absolute ballers.
Yeah, the Dutch women showed out, and, I mean, you know, who knows? I think this could possibly be the team that challenges the U.S. in the World Cup that's coming up. So, Any thoughts on the real quick roundup for the Women's Olympic Games first match day? You know, interesting results for sure. It definitely on face value.
Like,
I'm excited. We'll go real. My bad.
No, I think the women's matchups are like, you know, you can tell like which nations are really, you know, pumping their women's teams and stuff like that compared to other nations.
Yeah,
that's to be true. Fair. But Danny, you can go. That's all I wanted to say.
No, all I'm saying is it's exciting to see, like, obviously where I'm American, but it's exciting to see just other countries' football catch up. Like, I'd hate to see United States lose 44 game match unbeaten streak, but it's nice to see that other countries are, you know, stepping up to the plate and, you know, making football more accessible and exciting to watch, which is fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Around the tournament as well, Australia managed to pick up a win against New Zealand. Brazil, again, like we said, beating China. And Japan and Canada playing out a draw with Great Britain beating Chile. So that's what it looked like for the most part in the first match week, which is good. We'll be keeping posted on that and just kind of updating you guys more on that. But from there, we got to go to the brand new segment. It's time for a look at the transfer sheet. We're going to look into what the hottest, the top, the best, the new transfers, all confirmed for this week. We're actually going to get into the Varane to United talk in a little bit, just because it's not actually confirmed yet. But I am with Rio that it's pretty much going to be a done deal. But we're just going to be taking – this is going to be the first part. We're just going to cover some of the transfers that's happened in the summer. We have a lot of catching up to do, mostly since we didn't cover any transfers during, like, the last 2 months. You know, obviously because we've been stuck on what probably was the best international tournament of the last couple of years. But with that being said, let's take a look at the transfer sheet. Shall we, gentlemen?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Let's get into it. Let's get into it. Yo, is Kareem playing poker again, bro?
No.
this guy's in the back. All right, so obviously probably the best transfer or the biggest transfer of the summer for goalkeepers is going to be the man, the Euro player of the tournament winner, Gianluigi Donnarumma, going from Milan over to Paris on a free. And this is going to be a recurring theme, PSG getting free transfers. But
great window.
Yeah.
Great window
so far. And they look like the Champions League favorite. But Donnarumma to PSG, what does that look like? What is both teams, you know, what does Milan get from this? What does PSG do now? They plugged up a hole that I don't think was there because, I mean, Keylor Navas was still being great. You know, and what's it mean for Donnarumma's career?
Well, first, let's start off with PSG. PSG gets an absolute bargain. That's basically the best young goalkeeper in the world right there.
Yep.
Right there. And AC Milan loses out big time. But what can be said, you know, their club, although they had a really good run last season, it's not going to be challenging for a Champions League anytime soon. Juventus has a better chance. Inter has a better chance, you know. So they have a really big hole to fill in terms of him. But PSG with Keylor Navas, I think that's a little messed up in a sense because he's going to end up being, like, displaced a little bit in the back or, you know, be used for certain, like, you know, essentially to up Donnarumma in a sense, you know, get his game. It's kind of, like, going to be competitive. But Keylor Navas was pretty disrespected as a goalkeeper, to be honest, because he saved them countless times.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's a good rock at their back for a goalkeeper. You know, and you've never expected it from him being where he's from. He's always underrated and he never gets the respect he deserves. So shame on him, like shame on them for that. But I think they picked a really good I think they picked up Donnarumma really nicely compared to other clubs that were looking at him. He picked PSG, and I think that they're going to be real good title contenders for next season's Champions League.
100% agree with that statement. It's just, it's sad to see history repeat itself with Keylor Navas. I mean, Madrid did the same thing. They threw him out for Courtois, and it just sucks because he's been nothing but solid for PSG. And it's just, it's sad to say the least. I mean, gutted for the man because, I mean, he's a baller. That's all I can say. But PSG are setting themselves up real nice for the next few years because Donnarumma is going to be around forever, to say the least.
Yeah,
like Buffon.
That's the thing as well. I mean, it sucks for Navas. I mean, the performances he had in those Champions League legs against Manchester City and against Bayern were unbelievable. But I think if you're looking at it from PSG, you have a guy here who's coming to your club's doorstep and asking to come. I mean, a guy like that, the Euro player of the tournament, like there's no way you don't take him. So, it's harsh, but you know, at the end of the day, I think. If I'm Navas, I'd probably push for a move, actually. I think there's still so many big clubs that need a reliable goalkeeper. I look at, you know, even from the league that Donnarumma just came from, I think Juventus could use kind of that veteran force at the back again, and Navas certainly gives you that. I mean, Chesney's great, but, I mean, is he Navas? I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree. Chesney's decent, but he's not. I don't think he's the same way as Keylor.
You also, all that big game experience with Madrid, PSG.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm not against that move. That'd be pretty good. I mean, plugs up a hole, backup, potentially starter. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we can actually discuss then a little bit about what it means for Milan, I guess. Because, I mean, for Milan now, it's a case of, we all kind of saw that Milan weren't really going to be making that push to take the next step and overcome their rivals, Inter. But does this kind of dig them even deeper in that hole for contention?
I mean, I it'd be hard to say it doesn't. I mean, you have I hate to use the term generational talent, but I mean, how long has Donnarumma been in goal, what, 16, 17 years old?
Yeah, 16, he was touted the next Buffon.
Bro, how is that not, like, detrimental to your club's future? Sad to see him go, but wish him nothing but the best. He was absolute baller.
He was. Kareem, what are your thoughts on the move as a whole?
PSG and these free transfers, bro, it's world class, bro. But
they are.
Like you guys were saying, bro, my dog Keylor Navas always getting disrespected for no reason.
Yeah.
Well, it's sad to see for him. I think he could low-key, bro, if he could go to United, bro. That's what I could see. And take over for De Gea's ass, bro. And it could get United the step that they need, but we'll just have to wait and see, bro.
I also want to add something on. AC Milan replaced Donnarumma with Mike Magnan, if I'm not mistaken, his name. Mm-hmm. He's from Lille. He's a goalkeeper from Lille that won the title.
Yeah.
This year, so not a bad replacement at all. To be honest,
at all.
He's 25 years old, so he's pretty young still for a goalkeeper. That's really young. So it's honestly not a bad replacement at all.
No, it's not at all. I think it's gonna come down to the fact of. It's a great move for PSG, and I think now it's a matter of if there's a team out there that really needs a world-class goalkeeper. I mean, you know, Navas can take you that next step. I mean, I know, for example, United have Dean Henderson, but off the top of my head, I think if Navas is available, you go after him, right? I mean, I do not.
So. No, I know, but I think they don't want to pay a fee for him. 35.
His contract. Yeah. Do you know when his contract ends up? Anybody? Well, we can, if someone wants to go ahead and search it up while we get to the next one. Next up, huge transfer, in my opinion, in terms of sentimental value. It's probably the one that hurts the most to see, but David Alaba is going to be leaving Germany.
You said the one that you hate to see the most.
Before we get into that, 2024.
Yeah. Oh, 2024.
Extension. So,
but I don't think his fee shouldn't be that crazy. I think United should be able to pay.
But you don't want to put 20 million in that.
Yeah, I
think you get him for less.
I mean, saw a thing.
You have two shelling, keepers they're already.
They're shelling out. I mean, it's finally over. Jadon Sancho, the United.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get into that for sure.
Yeah.
So like I was saying, yeah, David Alaba crossing from Bavaria over to España, Las Tapas, to go to Madrid.
Great.
Raul, we're going to talk. Yeah, we're going to talk. I think we probably should have a different discussion about it altogether, about what the current state of La Liga is financially. But in terms of for Madrid and Barca, who have been sniping a lot of free transfers, this is probably top of the barrel.
Yeah, I'd say so. Alaba's what's it called? His depth and like the way he can be positioned on the field is insane. His versatility is insane. Like the fact that he can play center back, the fact that he can play left back, the fact that he can play in the midfield is basically unheard of for most players, to be honest. And he's solid. Knife. Pretty much, exactly that.
That's the best way you can describe him. It'll crazy be crazy how much ability one man has on a free transfer just because Bayern didn't want to pay him. Oh. That might hurt
sucks.
Them in the future.
It's definitely going to hurt them. I mean, I know Bayern. We're gonna talk about Upamecano. Actually, I don't even know if I included him in this version of the segment. Yeah. Mm-mm. Well, we can actually squeeze him in a bit. But I know we're gonna talk about Upamecano coming in. But I think Bayern's backline. When you look at that team, I think they're great top down. But where they can use help is that center back position. I mean, you look at the guys that are going out, Boateng's leaving. And even if he wasn't, he's way too old to be a functional center back in a Champions League aspiring team.
More of a liability, unfortunately.
Yeah, right. And so, and then you got Nicolas Sule, who obviously doesn't have the pace to keep up with the world-class players. You know what I mean? It's tough. I think they still need to bring another center back, and not paying a guy like Alba. He's been at the club for about 12 years, I think like 12 years at this point.
Well, yeah, more than a decade, I know for sure.
So, I mean, it's just tough. And Madrid are getting, they're getting a leader, they're getting a versatile player, and a guy who put Austria in a good position to almost beat the European champions. Like, let's not forget about that. Like, he took that Austria team, you know what I mean, to extras against the team that would go on and win it. So, yeah.
Very unfortunate, to say the least, for Bayern.
Yeah, but Madrid are getting a good player, Kareem, right?
Very decent. I just don't like the wage. He's like making like 480,000 euros a week.
Damn.
But we got it. It's okay. We got it. We got Florentino.
All right. Well, then let's talk about the guy who is he's essentially replacing, right, Kareem, Mr. Capi El Grande. Sergio Ramos went to Real Madrid from Real Madrid to PSG on a free transfer. And obviously one of the biggest free transfers maybe of like ever, to be honest.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, give us everything. Give us the masterclass.
It's just utter shit. I understand he's getting old, but it's Florentino, bro. Like, I don't know. He was cleaning. I heard that in the beginning when they were discussing contract wages that he wouldn't want to cut. And then 2 days later, Sergio Ramos tells Florentino Perez he'll take a wage cut. And then he says, we don't want you anymore. And I don't know how you do that, bro. Wow. That man is literally every – it's just so sad.
The embodiment of Madrid. Yeah. It's going to be hard to see Madrid without him. I mean,
it's so hard. You see any of the games, especially this season, bro, Ramos is not on the pitch. We look in shambles.
It's a different team.
There's no leader. There's no. It was just disgusting. I don't know.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead, my man.
I was just gonna say another year Atletico win it, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, he was the heart of the team. I think even going into next year, where the squad is gonna be severely underdeveloped, he was gonna be the guy that puts him, you know, in the boxer's chance of having maybe a shot at the title. I get Ronaldo, what he's done for Real Madrid over the last, or the 10 years, 9 years that he was there, 8 years. I think, in my opinion, over the last 20 years, he's arguably probably like the second or third biggest Real Madrid player.
I feel like you have a harder time choosing someone else besides those two. Like, bigger impact. Yeah, no doubt.
On impact, it's just he's everything. He's huge. But what are PSG getting on the other side, Rio?
PSG are getting a player who allows for a lot of flexibility for Mauricio Pochettino. So now they can, you know, expand into a three-back. They can play Marquinhos, Kimpembe, Ramos if they'd like. Or they could just go with the the four-back, but with having Marquinhos play the CDM with Verratti, which causes a lot of problems, because if Verratti's freed up, that's we saw what happened during the Euros when he's freed up with Jorginho there. Completely dominates the ball in possession. Like, they are challenging for a UCL, and it seems to be uncontested at this point, at least in my opinion. Like, with the transfers, like, you're gonna say Liverpool,
Bayern and City,
Bayern and City. I don't think a team like, look, Pochettino gets his tactics right. I don't think many teams are able to like beat them like last year. Like, it's not even be close games. It's gonna be domination. When you have if you have a healthy Verratti doing like being freed up like that, you saw what happens. He completely destroys other players. And like with the Neymar and Mbappe, you got Di Maria on the flanks. Like,
yeah, Danny, go ahead.
You got Wijnaldum now too? Like, come on.
That's true.
Are we also going to forget who else PSG's new right back?
Yeah. We're going to get to him, all right?
We're talking about flexibility.
He's definitely also an exciting player that they got for, you know, it's just PSG are just loading up at this point.
It's do or die. I feel like that this summer's definitely like shown that.
Yeah, I mean, but most of their money's going to the wage bill, so I don't think they've completely exhausted all resources to make a push at it, which they've just done very, very good savvy business. And I mean, at this point, like you said, if Marquinhos is able to slot into that DM spot, you know what I mean, instead of having a guy like Danilo Pereira there, you have a guy who's world class like Marquinhos. It's going to be scary hours, bro. It's going to be scary hours. This is what happens. PSG lose one title and they get everyone and their mom in the squad. So
that's the owner, bro. It's the owners that are making differences. Bayern's owner, what's it called? Hakim Mastur, I think, is Man City's owner.
Abramovich, if we're talking about
Abramovich with Chelsea, like, it's the owners making the difference.
Sheikh Mansour, FSG as well, a lot of money getting pumped
Florentino Perez.
Garbage.
Perez, get him out of here. Perez is terrible.
Thanos of football.
At least Laporta is actually trying to, like, rechange Barcelona from fucking...
Laporta is doing a good job.
Yeah,
but
he's actually doing a decent job.
To not steer...
club that was Bartholomew.
Yeah. Awful. So let's talk real quick, just to kind of zoom through. What do we think about Dayo Upamecano coming over to Bayern? Both center backs for Leipzig getting poached this summer.
Incredible move. Yeah. Nothing. It's an incredible move. I don't think there's any other way to describe it. I mean.
Yeah. He's put in some great performances. And I mean, to think he's still so young is.
What, 20, you know, 22, 23, right?
I believe he's 22, but we can do a
quick Google search.
He is.
He's 22. But you know, he's a good player. He's strong on the ball. He's obviously going to slot in as that first choice immediately. And hopefully now with the pace that he has in the back, it continues to free up Kimmich. It continues to free up Pavard, because you know it kind of became a little bit over last year where you kind of had to see Kimmich drop a little bit more central because there was no coverage there. And he knew that anything over the top against a guy like Boateng, you know, and Sule, if he plays and whatnot, is just going to be scary hours. Yeah. So good signing. Yeah.
I think it's a good addition, but I think that Upamecano, he's a really good player in a sense, but like there are definitely things that he needs to work on. Hopefully Bayern can push him to the next level. His pace is great, but I think the thing that lets him down would be maybe positionally, like his defensive positioning is a little off, at least in my opinion, at times, or even for his pace. I know that he's probably going to partner up with Sule, because I don't know who the hell else they're going to really put back there except Pavard, which I probably wouldn't play him at center back.
I mean, I'm fine with Theo Hernandez coming in. I just prefer him coming out from the wing side. I mean, he's really good. He's really versatile. But I wouldn't mind. I still think there needs to be another center back to come into the club, to be honest. I think that's literally it.
Yeah, I feel he doesn't solve their problems.
Yeah. I mean, he does because Alaba left, and if Alaba left and no one came in, it's like, okay, well, they're obviously not going to make that push. But
I definitely don't think it's a full-time fix at the current moment with, like you said, his position and everything like that. But step in the right direction. Bayern always poaches fucking great people in the Bundesliga and sets themselves up for success. So, I mean, I can't fault Bayern for the however many, 42 they spent? Yeah, 42 million they spent on him. So, good
boy business. Yeah. So then from there, we have to talk about the other Leipzig center back that left, coming over to Merseyside. Ibrahima Konate left Leipzig to Liverpool for an undisclosed fee, unless someone can find out if that's actually – I'm pretty sure it's undisclosed, but it doesn't matter.
I have – it says right here 41.5.
Okay. Yeah. That was a little bit higher than I thought it was. But if we're looking in, as far as a player here, look, I kind of was of the camp that we didn't need to bring in a center back. I thought that I really actually liked the development of Nat Phillips under last season. And I think as a fourth choice center back, which is what he's going to be behind Gomez, Matip, and Van Dijk, like there's really no need to be spending 40 on a center back unless we're thinking long term, unless we're thinking about completely restructuring the back, which I'm for. But I don't know if that's the plan. But as far as Konate goes, he's a great center back. I mean, I've took obviously the time to see a lot of his performances and whatnot. He led Leipzig with interceptions this year, and he was second actually in tackles plus interceptions on his team. So I think he's going to slot in well. I think he's going to have to do that Klopp year where he doesn't really play that much this season, and then by the next season, I think with Matip probably phasing out, he'll slot in.
My thing is, do you, based on, you know, Van Dijk being out for the season, Liverpool's, I mean, woes throughout the whole season, you're still on the same mindset that you don't want to bring another center back just to switch things up?
I
see it as a great move because obviously you don't know anything that's going to happen in the future. But I mean, I feel like that security and that, I guess, maybe not necessarily proven because it is a new league, but in another top five league, it doesn't hurt.
No, I agree. I definitely agree. But I think for the fee, especially when you named it, I just don't know.
Yeah, 42,
when
I look 42 at, isn't.
Yeah, it, when I yeah. look when I look at our front line, which is a problem we're going to talk about, you know, in the season preview altogether. But dipping into that real quick, I think we have to bring in an attacker, right? And I was hoping it's the guy that we're going to talk about in the transfers list a little bit later on. But 41 million for a guy who's really not going to get much reps, even if he's, you know, everyone's healthy. I don't think it's going to happen again where all three of our senior center backs get hurt, you know, knock on wood, obviously. But, you know, if it does, then we set up for
hot takes board.
Not for real, for real though. But that's my thoughts on it. So any quick thoughts on that, Kareem, Danny, Rio?
Nah, I think you said everything.
Yeah, I go for it.
So I was just going to say Liverpool are still shit no matter who they buy. So.
There you go. Right. That's why I called him in here because I'm like, yo, he's kind of quiet. And I just talked about a Liverpool player. But no, Van Dijk would be his best.
On a serious note, I have to agree with Danny, bro. You never know what can happen. Like, especially coming off of injury, you're more likely to get injured, bro. So you guys needed someone. I think this transfer was, if it was last year, it would have been perfect. But
it's prophylactic, if anything.
So we'll just have to see.
Yeah. Let's talk about some winners, right? Rodrigo De Paul just won the Copa America with Argentina. I was about to say Spain. Argentina. And he just moved from Udinese over to the Athletic side of Madrid, the La Liga champions and probably repeat champions, for 35 million. What do we think? I mean, this to me, when I looked at it, it was like, yeah, this is literally an Athletico Madrid player. He plays so much like an Atletico Madrid player, and kind of just glancing over stats when I did, you know, and seeing how you kind of play style looks like and everything, he reminds me a lot of like a Regen Coca in a way. and which is great because Koke is kind of phasing out. You know, he's really the voice for this team. And to see the fact that, you know, he's a good dribbler coming off of that Copa when he has a defensive edge and he's only 26, good transfer.
Yeah, great. No, great transfer. But I feel like Atletico bringing him in, unfortunately, shows the interest from other clubs to Saul.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard,
That's a big rumor that he's leaving.
I've heard, That might be, maybe that's the cover for him. I don't think he has the attacking edge for like Saul, but that's a good show, actually.
I mean, great. I mean, he's going to fit into Atletico's system 100% great. Yeah. I have it right here. 9 goals in 38 games as a midfielder. Great. I mean, he's doing exactly what you want him to do.
He doesn't really go forward.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's going to do exactly what you need. So, a great transfer.
Yeah, good transfer.
And 35, not bad.
Yeah. He's going to be a guy in
41 million.
That Atletico system for a while, you know. I mean, he's going to be, you know, the guy that, and even with Saul, again, like you said, Saul's linked to Liverpool United and whatnot. Like, Saul's a great player, but for Atletico, the way Atletico like to go, the way Simeone likes to go, he just re-upped the deal. I think as Yao Felix becomes more and more dominant, they don't really need Saul there as much. So they can have guys like, you know, Rodrigo de Paul, continue to have the leadership of Koke, and as Yao Felix emerges as a, you know, world talent, well, not world talent, a top 10 talent, really, because I really think that's what his ceiling is. I mean, you know, we'll see what ends up costing Atleti the most. Yeah,
well, I think he'll be a good pairing with Llorente, bro. That's like, I feel like if they both play in the midfield, it'll be good because they both kind of play in the same way where they like both go up. Never mind. Keep going.
Yo, this guy's literally YNJ. He's like, I forgot. All right, well then, you know what? Let's talk about a big blockbuster deal. Let's get. I really want to see what Kareem has to say about this. Actually, I also want to hear what Rio says about this because if you tuned in last episode, as everyone saw, we had a bit of a moment in terms of ranking England's talent, which we are going to actually talk about eventually. I want to get to it. Shout out Sebastian Zamont for commenting and showing love on the post and calling me batshit crazy. But Jadon Sancho, it's pretty much all but confirmed. It's not actually done, but like the paperwork's getting filled out right now. Jadon Sancho obviously is going from Borussia Dortmund over to the United side of Manchester.
A whole year? I'm signing up real quick. What is that, a whole year? Whole summer of finally? That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, you're right. No, Danny, take it off. What's your thoughts on that?
It's just crazy to me. I mean, a little back. I mean, you all can agree with me. Just growing up, just a gigantic, like, titan that Man United was and just a hotbed of talent and just trophies. And it's just, like, it's to seeing how they fall from grace is kind of sad and just how long it takes to do a deal for Jadon Sancho. It's just, I don't know. It's nice seeing them come back up. Even being a Spurs fan, I don't know. I'm all for better football, and it's just they elevate the game.
Yeah. Rio?
I think this is a great signing. It phases out a lot of, like, the problems, like your Dan James, like having to start him or your Juan Matas. Yeah, like putting him in there, like, I think this means that also, like, for your strikers, like, this changes a lot, to be honest. Because, like, we all know that Manchester United prefers the 4-2-3-1. And that front three is now very interchangeable, like, very, very interchangeable, like, set of pieces. Now you have Rashford, Martial, Greenwood, and Sancho. Yeah. And also Cavani, I forgot to mention, right, as, like, your most notable players, to be honest. So, like, that just causes really big problems because now Ole can just be like, hey, like, for this game, I want a Cavani and I need a Sancho, I need Rashford, you know, or he can just completely change up his lineup. Yeah. Real quick,
I want to ask Kareem, while you give your thoughts, I also want to ask this question, and it goes to everybody. How is this going to interrupt what Bruno has going on?
Interrupt? It adds.
It helps.
I mean, no, I know, but it's like, you know, Is there going to be a drop off in Bruno's numbers? Are we going to see Bruno less dominant with the ball? Are we going to see, you know, like, how does this mesh with him?
It meshes with him completely well. It's a really good signing. The fact of the matter is, isn't that Jadon Sancho is taking Bruno's position. Jadon Sancho stays out wide. He likes the ball to his right foot on the right side, and he tries to get in and get a decent cross in. So if you have Cavani up top, that's just headed goals. It's like Haaland and Sancho again, to be honest. But, like, you know, Cavani's a bit older, but more experience. Honestly, I think this is very good because, like, he gives something out wide.
It gives Bruno more options too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean more so in the fact of, like, you know, of the 11, right? Because as Rio was just mentioning, you have Cavani, Rashford, you have Sancho, Greenwood, and then now throwing Sancho in the mix, it's like, or not Sancho in the mix, you throw in the fact that they already have Pogba in there as well. It's like, you know, Bruno will have to look a little bit over his shoulder now to see, you know, is this spot really, really as guaranteed as it is, because now a couple bad performances away from really, you know, it's like, okay, we have a guy here in Sancho who can do, if he needs to, come central and do kind of your job. So, I mean, it's interesting. Kareem, what do you think?
I thought this was a transfer that would just never happen, bro. Like, we would always talk about it, and then it just never happened. So I'm very surprised to see that it is finally happening. But I don't think that – I don't know. I feel like he, like, loves Bruno, bro. I don't think he could ever drop him off, to be honest, like that. So I think, if anything, now there's a better chance that Bruno's numbers will go up because they'll actually finally finish his chances. You know what I mean?
Perhaps.
So we'll see.
Good point. Yeah. I mean, I agree. So moving on from that, then, one of the transfers that Real put up, Çalhanoğlu going from Inter over to, or from AC Milan to Inter Milan on a free. Real quick, what's the impact? What are we thinking?
Çalhanoğlu's kind of, he had a really good season for AC Milan. I don't know how they let him go.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, I feel like Inter really got a decent deal off someone who can take, who's a really good set piece taker, and, like, with someone who can definitely thread a good ball to Lukaku, or, like, you know, throws in a really decent cross from a corner, and then Lukaku's on a header, and that's goal. Like, I don't know how they really let him go, to be honest, for the free as well. I at least would have done for, like, a fee.
9 assists in 33 games. A little fast. But, it doesn't do anything but hurt Milan. Like, it, as Real saying, it's going to only make Inter better, which is great.
Yeah, I think Inter are kind of creeping into, you know, Champions League contenders tier because they have such a good squad. And I think I would have given a bit more certainty in that if they hadn't let a certain, you know, player who plays in the right back and can also play right mid spot, who we're going to talk about next episode. But
their manager.
Yeah, as well as the manager, obviously. And, you know, they are doing kind of some hole plugging in there to kind of get back and try and repeat at Serie A, even though, you know, we don't know what the situation is going to be with Juve, Ronaldo staying and whatnot. So it's going to be interesting. Çalhanoğlu, definitely a guy who's kind of made his resurgence in the league. So yeah, from that, we got to move on to two Barcelona free transfers and two big transfers overall, to be honest. It's Memphis Depay and Sergio Aguero coming from Lyon and Manchester City respectively. These are two pretty big signings, two out and out pretty much strikers.
High profile.
You know, high profile players. One of them's pretty much in the twilight of his career, but the other one was a player that I was really pushing. You could ask Rio this. I was really pushing to see this guy at Liverpool. And the fact Barca got him on a free, even if his wages or whatever, you know, this is a good signing.
Yeah, I'd say Memphis is a really good signing for Barca because you can play out on the wing. And I think that's low-key what they need. You can see Messi probably coming more centrally and stuff like that now, for sure. But it's just so interesting how they're going to line up to see, like, Griezmann, Aguero, and Depay.
Griezmann might be on his way out, actually.
Yeah, that's what I've seen, yeah.
With the problem with their wages, how they...
Yeah, which is crazy to think how much they spent, like, I think, like, 90 or something on him, and now they might be letting him go on a free. Yeah, 120.
Some of Barcelona's recent, some of their transfers, horrible.
But game. Yeah, Coutinho, yeah. I mean, Laporta, I think so far in office has done well to kind of steer the boat, but obviously it's going to take huge.
120 million euros. Yeah, Griezmann, that's how much they paid for.
Going to take huge reparations to fix that sinking boat. I mean, but yeah, Depay was second in goal contributions in League One with 32, only behind obviously the great Killian. And he's only 26 years old. So I think this is a player that you link him up. Now Pedri, one more year under his belt. Now Pedri should be, you know, kind of slotting into that. Okay, settled first team player. And, you know, you still obviously have Messi who's going to win the Ballon d'Or this year. So it's like, you know, I think it's a good sign. Aguero, we'll see what his role is for this team. But I think it's a good signing overall.
Really good.
Nothing to complain about. I mean, great bit of business. Owner free too.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I missed. It's actually three Barcelona free transfers in a row because we have to talk about Eric Garcia. Eric Garcia, who came over from Manchester City, came on a free. Did he play in the knockouts for Spain this year?
I think maybe a game.
Maybe a game. But he's going to be slotting into this Barcelona team again on a free. So some very savvy business from Laporta and the executives over there. What does this move look like, being that's going to be much more for the future?
I mean, it's long-term replacement for Piqué. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I feel like they brought him in. Great bit of transfer. I mean, that's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think they need cover in that spot. Obviously, they haven't seen Umtiti back in a while. I mean, I don't.
He's not playing ever.
Yeah, not that I rate Longley or anything, but it'd be nice to have him linked up with someone competent. So yeah,
right now their center back pairings are Araujo and Mingueza. I see Eric Garcia actually coming in and slotting in there.
I'd be a little bit more surprised if he doesn't slot in immediately. But once again, I'm not a Barcelona manager, so.
Yeah. That's true. And so the last two transfers that we have to wrap up here, we have the son of great Patrick Kluivert, Justin, moving from El Grande Roma over to OGC Nice on a loan with an option to buy for 10 mil. What does this look like? I've seen a lot of clips of Justin Kluivert, and honestly, he's exciting to watch. He has a lot of traits kind of like his father, and you know, if he's given the right kind of oversight and really put in an environment to succeed, I think he can do great with his career.
Yeah, I just feel like he's quite a disappointing player. I don't think he's ever really going to live up to his father's name.
Oh no.
At least in my opinion, I don't think so at all. I think that the problem with him as a player is definitely like he's so inconsistent to the point where it's like he has like maybe a good game and the next five are bad, then another good game, and then like he just gets out of the squad because of that. Like, he doesn't have a killer instinct like his dad is. You know, they play different positions, but still, like, when you think of like a top young wingers, his name is never mentioned for a reason.
For lack of a better term,
I mean, I think at his core he still has a lot of those things that could develop and become kind of a shadow of what his dad was, to, I mean, for lack of a better term. But like, he has the pace, he's good at controlling the ball. Like, he obviously hasn't been hitting the gym, but I feel like he obviously has that stocky build like his dad almost. You know, and so I feel like if he was put into the right system, if they put his head down and said, look, this is what it takes to be a great player. You know, you obviously have the genes of one of the greats in Dutch history. So I think this is going to be a test. I think this is going to be the big test of his career now. Can you perform now in the French league? So, yeah. From there, we move on to Eric Lamela, who has been a long-time Tottenham. I don't even know that's a term, but fuck it. Tottenham moving to Sevilla with a 25 million price tag as well as a swap with Brian Gill. So Danny, your man, did he win goal of the year with that Scorpion last year?
No, not the Scorpion. It's
not the Scorpion. The Rabona. Yeah. That's just Scorpion. It's because I think Scorpion, I think Giroud, Arsenal goal.
Great.
Yeah. So I mean, is this really? I mean, are Tottenham going to be feeling this as much as people probably think?
Tottenham got a good deal.
Yeah, no doubt. The amount of money they got for Lamella, 25
million.
No, I think they actually paid for Brian Gill. It's 25 to Sevilla plus Eric Lamella. 25 million.
I mean, Lamella's super inconsistent. I mean, I'm not mad about it. Brian Gill's exciting. Young, what is he? 21, 20-year-old, something like that? Super young talent. I mean, he has been struggling a little bit. He was on Ibar, I believe, on loan. And he, I don't know, I'm excited about it. Lamella's out of the squad. to say the least, these last few years. But it is what it is. I think this is going to help Spurs in the long run. I mean, we have a new manager, Nuno. I think he's going to be better for the philosophy of Spurs with Nuno kind of just focusing on up-and-coming talent instead of just trying to break the bank. Because even then, we might lose fucking Harry Kane, but I don't want to talk about that.
I mean, if that ends up happening, we'll obviously talk about it. But I think for the direction for Tottenham here, it's a bit of a weird place, because obviously you still have world-class players like Son and Kane, and you know, you don't really know if they're trying to full-on rebuild, but you also know Daniel Levy is not really a guy to just hit the full reset button. So I mean, it's gonna take some real work by Nuno to get this team in the top four.
I'm just excited because Nuno finally has, I guess, money, for lack of a better term, to do what he wants. And because I mean, his Wolves team were exciting to watch. So I have nothing but faith in the future in this season. I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope we do better than my prediction, but we'll fucking see.
Yeah. Tottenham are definitely in a weird spot, and but they are still doing better than Arsenal. So
Better than Arsenal.
It is, I'm good. It is what it is. London is mostly blue, but somewhat.
Unfortunately, London is blue.
Actually, maybe even some burgundy for West Ham, to be honest.
Hey, so, man. Jesse Lingard's a baller now.
Jay Ling's, baby.
Jay Ling.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up our transfer sheet segment for this episode. Obviously, we didn't talk about every transfer that's happened up to now, but we just want to break it up so we have some transfers for each iteration. Once the transfer sheet closes, we'll probably do a full just transfer sheet episode where we only talk about transfers and kind of see which teams have the best windows, worst windows, and whatnot. So be ready for that. Besides that, when we have guests on the show, I really, really would love for them to bring a couple of segments with them. And Danny did a fantastic job of bringing us a lot of juicy shit to talk about. Danny, let's start, shall we, with a great topic that you brought up that I think is perfect to talk about now. That is the recency bias in modern football. What effects does it have on players, especially if we take a look at this summer's international tournament and people, I mean, not just the media, but also us as spectators being prisoners of the moment.
True. What do you think? Should we start off?
I mean,
it's difficult to maneuver that because, for example, I mean, we'll look at probably one of the best players of the tournament, Federico Chiesa. Incredible tournament. I mean, that whole Italian team with him, a joy to watch. But I mean, is he worth the 100 million that is like rumored with Man City? I would disagree. I mean, Berardi right now too is also like blowing up, BVB rumors, Chelsea rumors. So it's like, how do you navigate that kind of weird middle area where it's like, yeah, you're good at a tournament, but it's also like you don't want to pay too much. Prime example was what World Cup it was it?
2014 Hammer, right?
Yeah, I was just about I was just about to say that.
Thank you.
Before we hear from Kareem, let me give a prime example of that. Here's the thing, before you go, Kareem, I want to accentuate on that example because that was literally what I had just thought in my head. Like, that's so huge. And it's crazy. We only really see that or that level of craze in international tournaments, like World Cups at that level. Like, no one's like, you know, a couple of years ago or even like this year, right, with Chelsea's run to the Champions League final. I still don't think people are like, oh, wow, man, Rudiger should get a 80, 90 million price tag. Like, that's a big tournament. But you look at international tournaments, and every international tournament, there's a player that comes out of it, and suddenly their value is ridiculous. I mean, you look at James, what he did in 2014 with the World Cup, and then got that deal with Real Madrid and completely bottomed after that. I mean, it's a good point. It's a good point.
I wouldn't say that's his fault, though, to be honest, if we're being real.
No, it's not. No,
because
it's not.
If we're saying that James has recency bias after the World Cup. Yeah, a little, but like when you look at his club stats before that, he was dropping numbers.
He was on Monaco.
He was dropping numbers, but I don't think he was ready for the big stage. We look at Depay as well, right? He got his move to United way too soon. Now he's on the way back to a big club status.
Real. Look, I know you're going to agree with this one. Was it 2014 or 2018? I don't remember. One of those two. When everyone was rating Alexis Sanchez over Hazard,
yo, we had to do a segment about that because Real got when I debated him on that.
Do you remember that?
He's a Hazard knob writer. Oh, and he said that Alexis Sanchez, what year was it? The one that Leicester or Arsenal came second? I think it was like 16, 17.
20, yeah, that's the Leicester season.
The year that he won Copa and he came second in Prem. I don't know.
2015, 2016, or 2014.
Actually, let's not get off topic. Real. What do you think about in terms of recency bias? And Kareem also.
Okay,
my bad.
It's a thing, but for certain players, it's kind of deserved. Like, Chiesa is a good player. Like, again, is he worth $100 million price tag? No, in a sense. But, like, you know, like, you could see in the market that players like that would go for that amount, though. Ridiculously. Chiesa is a young talent as well. How old's Chiesa? 23?
I believe 22. I'll tell you right now.
Because if he is...
He's 23.
Okay, 23. So exactly, right? So think about the prices of young players and, like, their ridiculous inflated prices. So, like, we could literally go back and look at how much... we haven't had a single... what's it called? Like an actual player that we went over. Oh, Jadon Sancho is one of them. He's going for what, 85 million euros or some shit? Like, look at that for prices and things. Like, that's a really good deal for him in this market.
Think about how much he was going to go for last year. Last year, what was it, 100? It was over 100, and then they didn't get the deal done. And then his price dropped, obviously, but...
Yeah, his price dropped off because of COVID and everything. Clubs not being able to necessarily put that amount of money that they were before.
Which I think is kind of a good resetter for the market, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, it is in a sense, but Chiesa going for maybe like undisclosed 100 million is because Juventus values him at that price. You know, it's not that clubs are straight up throwing 100 million bids, it's that's what Juve values him because they're like, okay, he's come off a really good tournament. He had a really good season as well, to be honest. And like, you know, he's getting valued at that for his price. It's more than just that. Like, if you're a business owner, right, and then your product's popping, of course you're going to, you know, put up your product.
No,
that's just basically
No,
like, if it's recently, you're going to put it up and, like, make it go, right? If people don't want to buy it at that point, that's their problem. I don't think that's a problem of recency bias, like, especially when players are putting up numbers.
Down
like,
in economics. No, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a really good point. But here's the thing with me is more so that this is pretty subjective, right? But like, I don't really like the fact that things like this are so publicly like, this guy's 100 mil, this guy's 120, because I think it kind of inflates players to a level that they're not really at yet. And so that's where I think we saw, for example, you know, the Depay situation. He went to United and he wasn't ready. I think he had the skill back then, but the mindset wasn't there, I think, because of the expectation that was set. And I feel like while that's obviously not up you know, that's not what the business owner's fault. Like, they're just simply trying to run business. I feel like it comes to a sense where, you know, are we getting into the player's head about that? So, Kareem, what do you...
You could say the same thing about Griezmann, and that's why he underperformed.
Yeah. What do you think about it as a whole?
I think that the whole market needs a reset, bro. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, back then, like, I understand that these clubs are getting much more money, but back then, Ronaldo was 100 mil, bro. And then Griezmann going for 120, all this. Chiesa.
Grealish is a great example of recency bias and English tax. He's a mixture of both.
We're going to talk about it, yeah.
I can't imagine how much Chiesa would be going for if he was English. Oh my god.
Yeah, actually, so let's go ahead and introduce that topic, and we'll talk about both things. Is I included both of them because I really think they're really similar. But it's mostly just about that famous or infamous English tax. So for those who don't know, Rio, you want to break down the English tax? It's pretty much that
players and since England, the Premier League is like the biggest, most watched league in the world. So players. Yeah, so if you're in England, you know, you need to have a certain amount of English players. That's for any league, to be honest. But, like, the fact of the matter is the Premier League is the most watched league in the world. And so the English media hypes up players to an unbelievable end. So the English tax basically is that if you're an English player and you have a really decent season, you're going to get overhyped and say that you're the top best player in the world to the media and, like, look at what he does. But it also comes with the downfall. The fact of the matter is that you can be shamed for just about anything. Look at your Raheem Sterlings, you look at your Rashfords, Kane's maybe an example, but Grealish is a really recent one if you want to take that one.
I don't think France does that rule as well as Italy. I think it happens in Germany, though.
Spain happens, yeah. It's for every league has it.
But I don't think it's as strict as England. I can probably we can do some research after, but
no, it is as strict as it's every league has it. It's just the fact of the matter is like the English Premier League has so many foreign players. That's the thing. There's not that many English starting players. That's why they need to have them in the club. Like in Spain,
it's way more prevalent. In England, in
Germany, most people are German.
Due to viewership.
No, yeah, I agree, but I mean, it's not like they don't get like top class players there as well. I think most of the English stats comes to the fact that I forgot who put a video on a great video on it. I think it might have been One Football like a year ago, kind of breaking down that it's not even just at the senior level, but even at the youth level, there's like a necessity for English talent that kind of goes overlooked. But yeah, good point there as well. But really, what does the media do in overhyping or even underhyping, whatever that even would mean?
Undervaluing
of a player and what that kind of does to the game. To the game and to the players as well, because, you know, like we were talking in recency bias, like you said, great segue into it was Grealish. You know, he's had a great couple, you know, of tournaments now or a tournament. And now with what he did at Aston Villa, is this price tag really worth it? Not really.
It's because like he gets reminded of that goal against Manchester United where he cuts in a little bit and then hits it like top corner against De Gea. Like people look at it like, oh my God, he's like the best player in the world. Like he's the best player. Like he's a top five. Like people think that, and that's actually kind of ridiculous. Like, you know, like in my opinion, his stats don't really prove that. I think he's a pretty decent player, but I don't think
fun to watch.
Yeah. He's a fun to watch player, as Danny's saying, but like, I don't think like he deserves that hype that you say, like, would you take Chiesa for 100 or would you take Grealish for 100? I'm taking Chiesa for 100. That's proven. It's definitely a little bit better than Jack Grealish, at least in my opinion, at least. You know, one plays for Juventus and is throwing up numbers, putting his team on his back during the Champions League against Porto when Ronaldo isn't showing up. And the other one is playing against Aston Villa, scoring, you know, a goal against Manchester United and tying a game at most. You know, like, at least in my opinion, like I don't know if they tied the game. I'm pretty sure they lost that game, to be honest, if I'm not mistaken. But, like, I think his English tax carries him to say he's better than Chiesa when he's not, or someone like that. Or like we're comparing to James during that time because they all play in very similar positions in a sense. Like James is still better, throwing up better numbers. That isn't like recency bias there, like in a sense. Like those are guys who like obviously it's like you just didn't realize that they played because you're watching more exposure. There's more exposure in an international tournament. There's more people watching. So the clubs, they essentially like, hey, like we can get numbers off this. We can get shirt sales off this. It's really dimensional. At that point, it's a multi-dimensional thing. It's not because this player is good, we're buying him. It's also because he's going to get his shirt sales because of his recency bias. It's this and this and that as well. It's more than just that. It's a business.
Yeah, he's gonna get people in the seats, you know, the tickets, and wanting to watch a new player. What happened?
No, he just great answer, real.
No, yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think to backtrack into that argument you were saying about what Chiesa is doing versus Grealish, I think it's tough. I mean, it kind of becomes, it's not exactly like this argument, but it's something of like a couple of years ago, people were arguing in the NBA like Booker or Tatum, because Booker was putting up numbers in a team that was doing shit, and Tatum is in the conference finals, but he had a lot of help. You know, it's like, I think it's a little bit tricky, and it's a little bit tough to say that I would take Chiesa or Grealish at this point. But I mean, I think neither of them are obviously worth their price tag as it goes, but you know, it is what it is. That's what recency bias does.
I suppose so. Yeah, that's true. I feel like one's more proven than the other, in my opinion, at least. I feel like Jack Grealish comes on, he gets, throws in a ball, says, fuck it, and then, you know, throws in a ball, and then, you know, Kane's on to that. Like, when you look at teams, what do you compare? The England team's way more stacked than Italian team, if we're being real.
I think they're more, Italian's more functional, like, even without.
Functional, Chiesa. But what's more stacked?
Well, sure, but I don't think they, like, I think Chiesa cannot be in the squad, and I think they're still more functional than the England team. But they are more stacked, like in terms of raw talent on paper, obviously. England were, before the tournament, we were saying they were top three squad. I just don't think they were set up as well as they could have. But yeah, yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Kareem, what is your thoughts, bro? What are you feeling, bro?
What Rio said was like perfect, because we got to think about how these like club directors think, bro. And these players, in the end, they're just investments. Like, how do I get more money? So, like, if we look at the Ronaldo purchase by Juve, they made that 100 mil in what, a week?
Jersey.
Off of jersey sales.
Yeah, they make more than that. More than that, bro.
They literally had the fans fund that move. So, I can see, especially with these youngins, like, to go back on my on my previous mention, I could see, like, if you're paying for a 22-year-old, that's, like, jersey sales for, like, the next 10 years.
Yeah, how much does contract last?
Yeah, so... I mean, I guess, man, it works. It's shit to see how it's going, though. But
yeah,
that's just the state of football. That's like why they had the whole big argument with the Super League. The owners wanted more money because they lost so much money during quarantine. Every business lost money, and they're not getting bailed out or anything because they're a whole sports organization. Why are they going to get bailed out? Like,
I generally think it was a good, like, I generally think that if there were to be any sort of silver lining for football in terms of what the pandemic brought, I think, you know, if it were to be some sort of market resetter, I know that big clubs didn't get hit as hard as small clubs, but in terms of the grand scale for like bigger clubs, I think hopefully as some sort of resetter on the market, because I mean, you look at the fact that in the trend that we were going at, obviously, right before we had Neymar, who was going for like 229 or went to for 229 to PSG. It's like, can we get much higher, bro?
Much higher.
That's so high.
Shout out Donda, baby.
Donda listening party.
Donda listening party. Jonas Law. Not for real though, for real though. Yeah, so I mean, that's definitely our takes on it. Any last closing remarks on that topic?
One more player on recency bias off the 2018 World Cup who's a great example is Alexander Golovin. If you remember,
I do remember.
He had a great tournament for Russia, right? Yeah. Do you remember where he is now? No way.
I believe he ended up getting a move over to, wasn't it France?
Yeah, it's Monaco. Monaco.
Yeah.
He plays shit. He's not good.
Yeah.
He's not good. Dude. Compared to those other players that we mentioned for our recency bias, who actually played good.
I mean, I think you guys know my thoughts on that Russia team 2018. But
that team, hey man, if anybody
dream
has,
team. The Putin the Putin punters.
Look, nothing to do with this, but if y'all haven't seen it, it's on Netflix, Icarus, the documentary series about Russian doping, one of the best things I've ever watched. Please.
Oh, for the Olympic team and that tournament. Did they get accused of that?
Yeah, their Olympic team, like it's any Russian sports like program. Please just watch it.
You know what? I'll throw some more free promotion in there. Fighting in the Age of Loneliness. I just watched like 3 weeks ago. SB Nation. It's a great documentary about MMA and going back to China.
Oh, yes. It's
It's great. So good. Definitely check it out.
Secret Base, right?
I love everything they got going on over there. Shout out Secret Base or SB Nation, however you know them as. So, boys, do we have any wrapping remarks?
Do I want to talk about English stocks a little? Or do we?
We introduced that earlier, but I mean, if there's really, I mean, I think the English tax is something that's been around for a little bit now, and I mean, people just kind of understand it. It's why John Stones went for what he went for.
Sure.
Because I mean, he wasn't that player of a caliber of a player, but you know, I mean,
that's it.
Like, yeah, it's just like it's the English tax. I mean, John Stones goes for twice as much as Thiago went for. And I mean, coming off of the back of the performances he had from Ryan, it's like, really? But, you know.
I think more of the question I wanted to pose is like, what does that mean on the players? You know, like we talked about like what that means on the clubs, maybe the bit of the fans and like, you know, how that does there. But like the players' attitude and things like that is also a big thing. Like Raheem Sterling and things like that, Liverpool to City, like the abuse he's gotten, like to the media and everything. I think that also factors in things like that. Rashford as well. Yeah. Your black players, like
it's the unfortunate thing is that, I mean, look how much scrutiny they, like you said, black players get versus, I mean, slabs like Maguire when he got arrested in Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Harry Maguire, how much did he go for?
Horseshit.
What's
like 80, 90
million.
80
million. 80 million. Yeah. 80 million. He's the most expensive center back of all time.
It's just ridiculous,
that,
bro.
That fucking fridge.
That fridge, bro. I mean, you know, one thing that I will say, kind of in a two-sided manner, is in terms of not just the players, but in terms of the culture for English as a whole, for England as a whole, like it kind of feeds back from one to the other, because you see these players getting, you know, posed up Grealish 90 mil, 100 mil, you know, Kyle Walker is probably valued around like 90, 100 mil, 120 mil. I think you kind of see that in the players, right? Because you look at England's culture, right? I said it last episode, England's fan base is probably up there with the Knicks and the Patriots in terms of some of the worst fan bases of all time. And it reflects because like you see, you know, England fans and in turn spitting that energy back to the players, they're full of it. You know, they're walking around like I'm $100 million man, and the performances don't always add up to that. I think for players, I think it's getting into their heads a little bit. And that's why you see guys like Maguire, you know, doing the things that they do and feeling like they can do whatever because they feel untouchable with this kind of price tag on them. I mean, you look at a guy like how much would we look at a guy perhaps like Kimpembe go for in today's market, you know, definitely if like he would get valued less than John Stones. I mean, that's what I would say. And he's a miles better player, at least in my opinion. So I think it's
you definitely made a good point that I do want to talk, which is like, oh, like I go for this amount of money, I can essentially do whatever I want. And it's kind of shitty because it's like growing. I mean, it's a new way of thinking where it's like, oh, I'm English. If I'm good enough for one or two seasons, I'm gonna be the talk of the football world. And it's just like you have this kind of era and this kind of energy of invincibility where it's like, no, I mean, yes, you might get a transfer, but it's like you're not sticking to what got you in that first place, mm-hmm. which gets in their head, and then it's shitty because it's like you never want to see anyone fail, but it's like, bro, like there is overhyping, which
they get a couple of good performances in the championship and all of a sudden they're linked to the United, you know. So
albeit Grealish is a ball of a prime example. I mean, I want him to succeed, he's a fun player to watch, but it's like,
I do,
how big is one good season in the Prem? Like that much money?
I just don't I don't mind it, but I think like we've almost, and I want to hear what you have to think about this, Kareem, as well. This is not even just for English players, but I think we've almost started to remove the middle part of some players' careers, like we're not seeing players go from like, okay, like, you know, I was at a smaller club, now I'm at a club like, you know, Villa, and then now I'm going to a club like Arsenal, now I'm going to a club like City now for a fee that's warranted, right? It's just because I think, like you said earlier, Rio, touching on the business owners, they want the instantaneous gratitude. Who's the player who's the talk of the town? Oh, it's Pogba. Let's sign him for $100 million, you know? So I think we're not seeing that natnatural kind next of progression. Level development. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Kareem, so what do you feel about that?
Just to go off of what Dan was saying, with these player mentality, bro, you can even see it with Neymar, bro. Like, he thinks he's the shit, knows he's the shit. And then every February, bro, he's missing games just for his sister's birthday. Her sister.
Are you saying that Neymar's hyping his sister?
Is that a conspiracy, bro?
Dude, it's every year the same time.
Yeah, bro. I'm just saying, have you ever seen him play in a Champions League quarterfinal, bro, around February?
Hey, man.
I haven't seen it, bro.
All I'm gonna say is there's the facts.
These players need to take the responsibility again, bro. If you're worth 200 mil, 229, like you guys said, show that you're worth 229 mil on and off the field, bro. Like, this man can't just be doing that, bro.
But like, well, I guess it's all relative. But like, this is not meant to be taken literally. But how do you prove your 200 million? As a 22, 23 year old, like it's so just asking for so much when you come from a club like, say, Villa, and all of a sudden now you're at United, 200 mil. Like,
well,
whoa.
See, the thing is, the unfortunate truth is you can't unless you're,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, Rio Ronaldo. Not even that, Rio touched up on in this. Like, prime example, Rashford. I mean, he has done nothing but fucking charity. He's donated, I think it's like 125% of his earnings, something ridiculous like that. Nothing but great. And he's just getting all this like backlash and everything like that. Like Raheem Sterling, they get chastised, criticized for the smallest things. It's like, unfortunately, it's like you're not gonna, no matter what you do, you're still gonna get criticized for something. And it's just, I don't know. It's a sad thing to see.
It is. It's quite unfair.
It's unfair is what it is because people grow up and idolize these football players and it's like, okay, they're actually doing good stuff, but it's like they also see they're getting criticized for being good people and giving back to the community. It's like, bro, where do these people win? Because if you do something good and you get criticized, you don't do anything, yeah, you're out of the media, but it's like, do you, I don't know, you want to be more than a footballer. That's what I like to think, that people want to be more than a footballer and give back to their community. But it's like, it's a hard thing to play middle ground. It's almost like you're playing politics, for lack of a better term.
I think the human mind is never satisfied. Like, if we like switch off to basketball right now, Giannis is still getting hate right now. Like, he stayed with Milwaukee. He didn't join.
People call it a Mickey ring.
And now, yeah, now everyone's like, oh, if it was a healthy, like if it was a healthy Lakers, if it was a healthy this, like you wouldn't have won. So I don't think you can ever live up to it.
And there's, and not to go too deep into the NBA, but Kareem, like, bro, like, can you remember, right? I can't. Like, they're almost every title in the NBA, like, is affected by some luck. Yeah. Some injury or some shot that magically went in. You can't.
Every team benefits from injuries. I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. If you get injured, you got to play. You know what? You got to play who's up against you. You know, you can't control who plays against you.
And next man up. I don't know.
Last year, the only reason the Lakers won was because Dragic and Bam were injured.
Oh, look at this guy, bro. Look at this guy, bro. Lebricky James.
Yo, real off topic. You guys watch Space Jam 2, bro?
I watched the first hour.
I have not. Uh-oh. Is it good? I've heard it's not as good as the first one, but then again, nostalgia is a crazy, crazy shit.
It's also not made for us, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's completely facts. It's not made for us, bro. It's made for kids.
It's really not. I kind of got bored after watching it. It was like,
uh-oh.
Save the file.
Episode two.
Yo, save the file.
Oh my god, no, we're cutting you off, bro. You're done, bro. This has been the thing. No.
hit the shower.
Oh, look, that boy like this still, bro.
He's in the YOLO. Yeah, everyone hit this. Hit him.
Wrong hand. Other hand.
Oh, it's this hand, yeah. But do the wave. Ready? Yo, we gotta update a video version of this. Y'all don't know what's going on. Bro, all right, well, Rio is dead. So I feel like it's a good time then to cut it off because you are running for a bit. This has probably been the longest episode we've had, but it's been such an enjoyable one.
I'm back.
Oh, he's here. He's here.
He returned from the purgatory.
He's still frozen, but we're still hitting the
Yeet. He's back from the shadow realm.
He's hitting the nene on his picture. Oh my God, bro. All right, well, I guess that'll be a good place to wrap up. Danny, it's been amazing to have you here, bro. Honestly,
Thank you for speaking for the guys here, you know, we
got to have you back at least for some more transfer talk and discussions.
Honestly, we got an open spot. Mono,
you know, Mono, your spot is you got to look over your shoulder, bro. Your spot is
Mono's spot's under contention.
It's you guys are going to have to battle it out, bro, with a little chicken tender Popeye fight, bro. Real quick before we head out, Danny, can you give us the review of the new Popeye chicken nugget?
Look, Popeye's
my boy wants a fight. He won a tussle,
bro. I'm telling this everybody, Popeye's, I was a little hesitant. Popeye said they were coming out with new chicken nuggets and they said it was going to be life-changing. You know, everyone says, oh, everyone always says that their brand's the best, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna come unbiased. A little backstory, my household is a Popeye's household. We love that shit. It's always open. We Enrique Rios
contest. Over there,
we always
amazing.
On Popeye's runs at like fucking midnight. It's amazing. Whatever.
The biscuit. Popeye biscuit.
Those nuggets are life changing, bro. They are. You can eat them. God. This is how you can tell if a nugget is good. If you can eat them without any sauce, mm-hmm. if you're able to eat it without any sauce and it's good, it's a good nugget. Mm-hmm. And that is a Popeye's. Genuinely, I'm not trying to get no recency bias. I'm going to let it sit a little. We just talked about that. But it's definitely up there on fast food nuggets. It's definitely top tier.
That's fire, bro. All the three of us rest on the panel are going to have to try it then so we can come back and give you all a full-on review, bro. But that's crazy, bro. Popeye's just keep snapping, bro. Last summer they took over with the chicken sandwich. And now they're chicken tendy. Like they back to back, they got the two-peat. Like what are they gonna do it next summer, bro? Are they gonna take over again with a three-peat or something?
They gonna give us the chicken
Whoa! Hey, yo. Oh my God. Well, once again, Danny, thank you for coming out, bro.
Thank you for having me, boys.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy yourself, bro.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah. he didn't say no. I'm not gonna thank you, bro. We'll see you next week. Fucking. Well, all right. This has been the Clean Sheet as always. Thank you guys for joining us. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here listening in with us. So this has been Enrique. Thank you guys for listening. Creamy.
All my creamy fans out there, stay creamy.
Oh my God, bro.
It's gonna work.
It's gonna catch on.
It's gonna bang.
When you got my merch on, just wait.
No, I am, bro. I'm gonna get the exclusive merch, bro. I'm gonna get some on the back with it. You know what I mean? we our first guest in Clean Sheet history, Danny.
Thank you. Last thing I'm gonna say is let's hope Spurs makes Champions League. That is all I wish for. And even a couple, any trophy, a Cavaro Cup, I don't care what it is. I just want one cup.
Oh my God. And Rio.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Well, I hope you guys have a good rest of your day. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. It's a pleasure to have y'all.
See you soon. Fire Dice Sections by Rio today. That has been the Clean Sheet. Thank you all for listening. And we are. Yo, this was actually a big ass debate in my job, bro. Because niggas said Five Guys, and I was like, bro, quit it. Like, just stop, bro. There's no. Are we actually saying Five Guys is better than Shake Shack?
Look. There's a few facts we can say off the dome. Five Guys over Shake Shack. We're talking about fry quantity.
Yes.
They're not.
We got to use the main four metrics, which is price, which is value, goodness of food, and variety.
Variety 100% goes to Shake Shack. That's
exactly.
Yeah, you can't argue with that because, I mean, you can only get a fucking double bacon cheeseburger at Five Guys. That's cool.
You can get a hot dog.
Look, all I'm saying is if I get a double at Five Guys versus a double at Shake Shack, that Five Guys shit has me full.
No, I agree with the full part.
Don't.
But if I'm talking about the best,
I'd be eating that shit like nothing.
Bro. Burger, the best burger, it has to go to Shake Shack, bro. Snicker, bro. It has to go to Shake Shack, does it not, bro?
Okay, no, but would you say the same thing if it was same ingredient, bacon, uh-huh.
better cheese. Pizza, Papa John's?